I'm very cognizant of the time this morning. We've taken a long time to honor our mothers, and I have full intentions of just being very brief today. But it is a good time to be in the house of God, and it is a good time to honor our mothers. They definitely deserve all the praise and the accolades and the words that we can give to them, and they deserve a whole lot more than they get. But hopefully you have some special time today to spend with mother, if not telephone calls, whatever. And anyway, God bless all of you. I wish I had it where I could project it, but I didn't take the time to get that done today. But I'm thankful for my mother and her prayers. I miss her when it comes to prayers. And then she, I don't care how old I ever got, she still was the one that could tell me what I needed to hear. And she could still scold me if she needed to, and I always received it and appreciated godly father. I lost at a very young age, and then my mother passed a couple years ago, and she was, I believe, 90, and had a good life and was a great blessing and continues to be a blessing to myself and my siblings even to this day. So I'm grateful for her. Anyway, and that being said, I appreciate very much my wife of fixing to be 51 years. And she's my mother in a lot of respects. And sometimes I'm a rebellious son, but most of the time she's my mother and tells me what to do. And I do it most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. And of course, I appreciate my three daughters, and I appreciate the mothers of this church, and I appreciate the senior mother of this church. That's Sister Ruth Leek over here. Is ninety and a bunch more years old, and she's the only remaining member of this church that was here in 1972 when I came to Tulare. I stayed in her home, her and her husband's home, and I give honor to Sister Leek today. She is a precious lady. She's in a care home, but let me say this also. I am very, 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 very grateful to the people that pick her up and bring her to church, yeah, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. And I don't know who all participates. I know there are different ones, but to all of those that take that responsibility and do that, I am grateful, very, very grateful to those that take the time to pick her up and bring her to the house of God. And I'm so glad that even at her age, she is able to be here and be a part of the family of God here. Mothering is a very great job, a tremendous responsibility. And I had a lot of things that I was full about today that I was going to share with you, and I'm going to have to cut it very, very brief this morning because I don't want to belabor the service and make it longer than it needs to be. And it's a very, very tough job when the last speaker is standing between you and your lunch. So I will try to get you out of here really quick, and we could have just kind of concluded, but let me just make a few remarks and hopefully take a little lesson out of the lesson today and speak to you. Without reading it because of time, most of you know the story of time in Israel history that there was a word had gotten out that there was going to be born a deliverer. And also there was a time when the Jewish people were in slavery in Egypt's bondage, and the promise that a deliverer was going to come, and they were getting so populated, they had lots and lots and lots of babies, and all of a sudden the Jewish folks that were living in Egypt had become so populated that they were afraid that as these youngsters grew up, they were going to be more powerful than them and take them over. And so there was a decree made that all the male babies were to be slaughtered, to be thrown in the river and drowned. And a horrendous time in history, but there was a woman named Jochebed that had a son and realized that her newborn baby was a child that had destiny and that was going to be greatly destined to be used of God. And somebody said something just recently, and as I thought it over, I realized how truthful it was. There are not a whole lot of godly examples of fatherhood in the Bible. You think of great ones that we've known, and most of them that you know, you talk about how great David was until you find out, you know, some of David's major failures. And you just start naming different great men in the Bible, and then you follow them, and all of a sudden you realize, we could take parts of their life and make them as great examples. But that being said, there are numerous examples in Scripture of godly mothers that did a great job, and there are many, many examples of that give us a challenge as far as motherhood is concerned. One of these was Jochebed, and she didn't want her child to be destroyed, and so for the first 3 months after his birth, she quietly kept him content and hidden away. But when he started getting a little bit older, a little more feisty, she realized that her secret was going to get out. And so she made him, and it's the story most of us are familiar with, she made him a waterproof basket and put him in this little basket and put him out in the among the tules in the river. And she designated her teenage daughter to keep an eye on him during the day, and that there would be times that they would get together to child to be fed. And the Pharaoh's daughter was out with her entourage, and she heard the baby in the bulrushes. She heard him crying. And you know the story of how that she called for her servants to go fetch the child, and they brought her to her. And I told Pastor Grogan this morning something that I would probably, I may, if I get an opportunity sometime in the future, have some remarks about it, because it dawned on me what a tremendous thing this teenage girl, and we've got our teens in here today, and never forget what value you can have. But part of what happened was the results of a mother that had already instilled tremendous things in her daughter that was now a teenager, because no one planned on the queen seeing this child. That would have been the last thing they would have wanted, or the Pharaoh's daughter. That would have been the last thing that they would have wanted. But the baby cried at the wrong time, and the Pharaoh's daughter was near and heard it. And this little girl's out here to protect and watch over her little brother, the newborn. And when the baby was revealed and the request was made to bring the baby to Pharaoh's daughter, and she said, this must be a Hebrew child. And she knew the decree. She knew that the Hebrew children were supposed to have been wiped out. But she fell in love with this child. And the amazing thing that happened, and it can be tied to the mother, because the mother had to instill within this teenage girl this kind of bravery and quick thinking and love. And this teenage girl goes up to the queen, up to the Pharaoh's daughter, and she says, would you like for me to get a nursemaid for this child? And because they didn't have Similac and all the different kinds of bottles they have now, and probably Similac's probably dating me to, probably there's all kinds of other stuff by now, but they didn't have all that things to take care of babies then, and so they needed someone, a mother that could suckle or that could feed this child. And she, this little girl, a teenage girl, was a quick thinker, and she went up and said, would you like, and as it turned out, They said, sure. And so what did she do? She went and got the child's own mother and brought it. And the Pharaoh's daughter did not realize that this was the mother to this child. But this mother came and she continued. And the point that is very important that I want to impress upon you today is this mother was given this child for probably till he was probably in those days, probably till he was about 5 years old. Somebody has said that so much of a child's future, confidence, intelligence, personality, and all kinds of things is developed in those first 5 years. And so this mother had the opportunity to instill within Moses a desire to serve God and walk with God. And as the scripture says, you bring up a child in the way it should go, and when it gets old, it will not depart from it. And she was able to, as she had taught her teenage daughter about the things of God, and without a doubt, this teenage daughter was quickened by the teachings of her mother to act quickly to get her mother involved in this child's life. Likewise, now this little boy had his own mother to raise him over the next number of years. And then later in life, when it came a time for a decision, he was raised in the Pharaoh's house with all the pomp and glory and prestige and even perhaps inheriting a position of authority and maybe even pharaohship coming up. But in all of that that had happened, he never forgot the teachings of his mother. And there was a point in time that he came to a crossroads, a decision. And the Bible says, and I won't take time to go to it, but in Hebrews, that when he became an adult, there was a point in time that he chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose to say, I am not an Egyptian. I am a Hebrew. I'm a child of God. And he chose, rather than the royalty and the palace and all of those things, he chose, if necessary, to suffer with the children of God. And I'm going to tell you this morning that that was put into him as a small, small child by a mother that taught him the things of God. How amazing it is. Here's two examples that this mother taught this teenage girl that she was able to react. And then this child that no matter how old he got, there was something had been put in him. It's already been mentioned several times today of people that somebody, I think, even used the word. If not, I read it somewhere this morning, said I was a knucklehead. Well, a lot of knuckleheads came along. But when mama had them and gave them instructions and teaching, put something in their heart that caused them to want to be what God really wanted them to be. And when the decision came and they had to make choices on their own, I will tell you that I have absolutely no doubt in my mind at all that if I had been left to myself as a child, if I'd have been left to make up my own decisions and make my own choices, I would have made the wrong ones. But I had parents that realized that there is a responsibility as a parent to teach your children. And my parents knew that. And when I was a knucklehead, and when I would have made the wrong choices, my parents taught me the right things of God. There were many times in my growing up years, and I had a very, very strong disciplinarian for a father. And I could not count on both hands and both feet and all the rest of the feet and toes in this building today how many spankings I got as a child, because I got a lot of them. I could be in church, and if I was whispering and talking like these two right here are right now, and my dad would give me that. And I knew that was... And God forbid that if I was passing notes or anything else, because, and if he had to give me that look twice, I knew when I got home, we were going to have a little conversation in the bedroom, and I was going to be bent over the bed, and I was going to get what I deserved. And I thank God, my dad was never abusive. He never beat me. He never hit me with his fist. But if he said, son, one of his words is, you're going to would to God you hadn't have done that. And I knew when I was ouching and jumping and that I knew what that meant. But as a child, I didn't tell my mom and my dad. I never remember ever one time in my life that I ever sassed my mom and dad, because from a child, that was not permissible. It wasn't allowed. I didn't learn that, because I did learn that that don't happen. And my dad wouldn't allow me to disrespect my mother or vice versa. And I thank God for parents that taught me the things of God. There's no question in my mind that if I would have been raised in a different kind of environment, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And we say that, it may seem like just a cliche to say, but I can tell you that's a truth today, that there's no doubt that I would have made wrong choices. But somebody says, well, they're 13 now, they're a teenager, they got to make their own choices. If you'd have let me make my own choices when I was 13, it wouldn't have been a knucklehead. That wouldn't describe what I was. It'd have been a lot more descriptive words to describe. But my parents realized that they were the parents, and they were given to lead and guide and direct me, and I thank God for that. Let me digress a moment and say, moms, thank you for what you've done. Yes. But let me say also, moms, your daughters, you teach your daughters how to live by your example and by what you do. You teach your sons respect and honor. And I was thinking this morning about the moms of this church, and I was thinking about, you know, some that are such impressive moms that it's so obvious that they're teaching their children the ways of God and the things of God. But it's very sad for me too also to say that sometimes I see moms that I know their moms are not living what they should be living. And they're allowing things and doing things with. And sometimes moms, rather than being a mother and a godly mother to their children, they want to become friends with their daughters and with their kids. And they want to allow things and do things. There's an old cliche that says, what parents allow in moderation, children will allow in extreme. There are examples all the way through Scripture where parents made some wrong decisions, and their decisions led to the destruction of their family. You can look at Eli, a great, great man of God. You can look at Samuel, a great, great man of God. And I said it a while ago, we're looking for a godly example in Scripture. And you look at these, and part of it is so good. But then the Bible says, but they failed to restrain their kids. And their kids then ended up doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And God judged them. Sometimes we see everything we know about Eli and Samuel, they died as great, great men of God. But they failed when it came time for raising their children. They did things, they set examples, and part of it was they just simply didn't restrain their children. Mom and dad set standards in their life of things for their children. And when you tear down those standards, and when you tear down the standards of the church, and you start being permissive and wanting to be involved in things and dressing and acting in ways that are not really appropriate, and you teach your children and you push the edges, and then you know what's going to happen? Your children are going to push it even further away. And you may make it through life, and at the end of your journey, we may say, well, they were a good person, they were a godly person, and we feel comfortable in their salvation. But it would be a sad day to get to that point and then realize, but I lost my kids because I allowed things and permitted things and did things that allowed my children, it opened the door for them to go into a direction and into a way that would allow them to be destroyed. I felt like the Lord gave me a word this morning for someone that's not here today. But part of it is sometimes it's basically, this is our last chance to do what's right. This is our last chance. Our children start growing up, and you're not going to have a whole lot of influence very much longer. And then they're going to be doing their own thing. And if you didn't do like Jochebed did and instill something in those kids, instill something in their heart that would cause them, when mama's not there, to say, no, you're going too far. No, you're allowing too much. You're not there to do it, but something had been put into their heart and their spirit that says, I'm not going to go that far. Somebody's watching you, and I'm going to tell you that the primary ones watching you, Mom, are your kids. And they're watching your example. They're watching if you can be Mrs. Sweet a pie at times, but then at other times that if you're allowing or saying or being critical and doing things, they're going to pick up on that spirit. And I have watched as pastor for decades, I have watched there are some kids that are very uncomfortable around me. There's other kids that just almost worship me. There's some kids think I'm Jesus, because their parents have taught them that. There's other ones that they're a little bit sheepish around. They're a little bit embarrassed, and they're a little bit ashamed. And it's because they've had too much example and too much. And you can tell a whole lot about what's happening to someone's home by the way they treat you here. And I've watched that. I've seen those that have the extreme examples from both ends, that they're a little uncomfortable because they know they're not really where they should be, and their home has been opened up to allow the enemy to come in. And I wrote something in the side notes this morning that I said, evil always has a desire to destroy God's plan. There was a plan for Moses from his birth, and evil had a desire to wipe him out. But through the teachings of his mother and the help of his big sister and then the plan of God unfolding, he was put even in the palace in a protected place, because there was going to be a day coming that those teachings that came from his parents as a little child, now he's on his own and he's got to make his own choice. And he made the right choice. He chose rather to suffer the children of God because something had been put in him. It wasn't compromised, it wasn't broken, but it was something that was solid that they could stand on. And it's already been said today that sometimes children may drift away from what they should be. And there's a point that you can't make them do anything when they become adults and so on. All you can do is hope that somewhere in the round, somewhere in their life, you put something in them that would cause them to be faithful and do the right thing. I said it earlier, and I'm going to intend to keep it, that I'm not going to belabor the point this morning and keep you, but I appreciate our godly mothers, and I thank you for your examples, and I thank you for your teaching. I thank you for what you do for your kids, and I'm sure all moms are probably at one time or another somewhat disappointed in something their kids did or didn't do. But if you give the best you can and put something within their heart and their spirit, that is a blessing. Something comes to mind. I don't know whether it's the Holy Ghost or just my knowledge of right and wrong, but I want to commend our pastor and his mom. And I think Kathy will understand what I'm saying and what I've observed from Pastor Grogan. Pastor Grogan came from a broken home, and his mom and dad were estranged when he was a small child. And many, many times that is exacerbated by the hurts and the feelings that come in a broken home. I'm closing in a moment, but let me close with this point. I've heard Pastor Grogan describe his growing up years, that there were a lot of hurts and pains that his mother went through. When he was a child. But she didn't share that with him. He didn't know some of those things that could have maybe made him hate or despise his dad. And vice versa. And then his dad remarried and married mom number two. And mom number one, his birth mom, and his dad's other wife. These things happened back when his dad was not living for God and not in the church and so on. But he's witnessed his mother and his second mother get along and not be snapping at each other and fighting over his love and his attention. And to me, that's another example of what can happen in a world when a mom loves her children more than she hates her ex-spouse. When a mom cares for her children and is not going to allow the enemy to come in and destroy the child. And so many times in divorce situations, it becomes so ugly and parents are so divisive and they say all kinds of things in front of their kids that damage their kids and their future. And so let me just conclude today with thank you, Kathy, for being that kind of a mom that shared and didn't damage. And we have a great pastor that I have always understood that when you get a child that's grown up in a divorced home, the chances of them becoming a divorced family just extremely are multiplied. But one of the ways to prevent that is exactly what I've just talked about, is loving your kids more than you hate your ex and learning to share and become the mother, the godly mother that you need to be above everything else. Jochebed was a tremendous example of that. And the other example in scripture that I will not get into, but you can take it from here, and that's Mary, a child that grew up, teenage girl that kept herself. And she may not have been the prettiest girl on the block. She may not have been a cheerleader. She may not have been dressed in the most fancy clothes. But there was something that her parents put in her, that Mary was a virtuous woman, a virtuous young lady, and the God of glory chose her to become the mother of his fleshly body. And what a beautiful example that is, that she had parents that kept her and reserved her as a vessel to be used of God, and that she became the mother. And what an important role model she is for all of us, that from his birth, all the way through, the way she taught him and trained him. And then the beautiful story is the very first miracle that he ever performed. They were at a wedding, and Mary spoke of her son. And she knew he had not performed miracles, but she knew who he was. And when the wedding became embarrassment because they had run out of drink for the guest, she told the servants, she said, come here to him, and whatever he tells you to do, you just do it. And you know what his response was? Woman, what have I to do with thee? And let me translate that for you. She's saying, why are you throwing that on me? What am I supposed to do? She just smiled. Whatever he says to do, do it. And she walks away, left in his hands. And he told him to go fill the water pots with water. And when he come back, it's now go serve the guests. And the guests said, they've saved the best wine for the last. She knew, and she had been with him. That had been her mother. She pushed him into his miraculous ministry. What a tremendous example of a mother. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you today. Praise God. Praise God. Again, thank you, mothers. Thank you for your example. Love your kids more than you love the world. Love your kids more than just being a friend. Be a mother. And if you're a godly mother, be a godly mother example to your kids and teach them things that there'll be a time when you're not there. You don't have the opportunity to say that's the right decision, that's a wrong decision. But something's going to have been put inside of your children by a godly mother that can save them in a situation when you're far, far away, but something was put in them. Even Reuben said earlier about his mother that I heard him say, I don't know whether you heard that part or not, that didn't go to church much. And I'm assuming was not really a churchy person. But something in that mother put with her prayer and the Bible and what on that said that kept him to a point when he got of age and he had to make some major decisions about God. God was not a foreign object in his life, but he was sensitive to prayer and the Bible and the Word of God and the truth. And God led him into the family of God and the truth. A beautiful testimony of, though a mom may not have known all the P's and Q's or didn't have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, but that knew enough to start putting something in there that developed or cultivated a tenderness toward God and the things of God. Praise God. Hats off to you moms. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Could we just thank the Lord today for this service and for our mothers today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for all these godly ladies. God, give us the strength to be all that we can be. Help us, Lord, to serve you with all of our hearts. God, help us as parents, and today especially mothers, that you would cause us to realize that our example is so vital and so important to our children. So many times mothers spend so much more time with their kids because dad's away working or whatever, but that special time is teaching them right or wrong. It's teaching them the things, the choices they should make. Help us to cultivate and make the right choices in the front of our children because that's the greatest example they will ever have. Thank you again, mothers, and thank you, God, bless our mothers today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you. Praise God. No service this evening. Here's Pastor.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your family. Before you leave, find two or three people. Love on somebody. If you don't have a place to go today to celebrate, just come to my house. We'll kick our shoes off, kick our feet on the couch or whatever. But go enjoy your family. Love everyone. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day.